7 10 with Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones. But it's time now for us to ring in the new year with our very first guest of 2020. Normally joins us on Tuesdays, but, you know, we're mixing things up a little bit this week because, you know, it's the holidays, so sometimes you get time off. And I was fortunate to have the first few days this week off, so we were able to push Dave O'Brien back to a Thursday. Dave joins us on the Local Beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. Make sure that if you are looking for an early Valentine's Day gift, you stop by and see Jim and Bob Vandermark down at Vandermark Jewelers on Broad Street, right across from the hospital here in Elyria. They're a trusted name in jewelry. They have been for many years, and if you stop by, you will see why firsthand. Dave, Happy New Year. How are you?
Good. I feel real honored to be the first guest of 2020 here in the studio. That's quite an honor.
Indeed it is, my friend, and this is a busy show today. We figured we would bring you in first to set the bar incredibly high, and there's a lot to talk about today. But, you know, I thought you guys at the Chronicle-Telegram did a nice job of detailing the top 10 stories from the calendar year of 2019, and there were some really interesting ones, you know, ranging from what went down at Gibson's Bakery and the battle between they and Oberlin. And then you take a look at, you know, Frank Winfield unseating the incumbent mayor, Holly Brenda. And then you have a wide variety of other stories as well. I mean, the constant back and forth between the Lorain school system and the former CEO, now David Hardy. You know, Chase Rittenhour, the mayor of Lorain, just resigning in the middle of the year. So many different stories. And it was a lot of fun to kind of read through all that because, boy, there were some game changers for sure.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, and it's the second year that I've done it, but we've done it for for many years at the Chronicle, where basically the staff is tasked with kind of picking out some of the top stories of the year, and this year, you know, honestly, it was a really hard decision. I think it was a lot harder than I remember it being, just because there were, you know, I had a whole year worth of stories just to go through, and some stuff that had been kind of carried on, like Gibson's had been going on for, you know, 3 years, and there was so much involved with that lawsuit. There was a lot going on in municipal government, and like you said, you know Frank Whitfield, the first independent to be elected mayor of Elyria, the first African American man to be elected, there had been a gentleman who had served as kind of appointed interim for a while before him, but Frank brings his energy, and I should say Mayor Whitfield. I shouldn't be too familiar, but I know him as Frank because I covered him sometimes during the campaign. But that Jack Bradley getting elected to fill out Chase Rittenhour's term, that all that kind of stuff. I mean, there was a lot of change going on. My top three, I think it was a big deal that Ford decided to come in and I mean, basically, put in about almost $1 billion worth of investment, much closer to a billion than say just a million, but $1 billion worth of investment in the assembly plant, up there on the border of, Avon Lake, Sheffield and Sheffield Lake. Incredible, and I know the union, UAW, Local 2000, who I've gotten to know some of their officials doing stories. They really pushed for that. I'm sure there's a lot of Ohio lawmakers who knew, this is going to be a good deal. And Ford came and made a commitment to that property, and we'll see what happens. I think that was kind of, these are just my picks, but that was kind of the third biggest news. I mean, because that's always big, economic development. People always talking jobs. People always talking money. People always talking investment in the community. I think that's really great. For kind of nostalgia purposes for a lot of people, the Grafton Fire, Lou's Pizza getting destroyed, 216 Bistro getting destroyed, back on April Fool's Day. And that was really terrible, but a lot of people in Grafton came together, insurance took care of a lot of that. Thankfully, nobody got seriously hurt. But there's a big hole still right there, behind some fencing on Main Street there. We'll see what goes up. I mean, it'll be nice to see a new building kind of rise there, Phoenix from the ashes metaphor, I think that's really a nice thing, and Lou's fortunately reopened. So, So, you know, under new ownership, and I've finally gotten to try some of their pizza, and I don't want this to sound too much like a commercial for them, but if you haven't, and I'm sure there's a lot more people that have than haven't, you know, go and check it out. And I think, you know, and I, again, I may be biased, but, I think the biggest story, at least the most national story that we had in 2019 had to have been Gibson's, versus Oberlin College. That got a lot of traction in the national, international, local, regional, state news. And I wasn't the only one who wrote a lot of that. You know, my former colleague Scott Mahoney wrote a lot of it. My former colleague Bruce Walton wrote a lot of it. My other colleagues, you know, have done a lot of work on that. Our photography staff, Bruce Walton, you know, Kristen Bauer, Steve Mannheim, did a lot of work on that. And that was it was truly a team effort. And again, not to sound too much like a coach out of, you know, doing a post game, but that was really a huge story. You know, I ended up on, you know, talking to Ted Koppel on CBS News. A lot of people were following that around the country, and I think that was kind of the one that had the biggest impact. You really got to see kind of where people fell in, you know, on what side of the issue, and larger, you know, First Amendment issues, according to the, you know, the defendants in the case. Again, all under appeal. We'll see where it goes.
Well, and I think that was the biggest thing with the Gibson's Bakery versus Oberlin case, was that we kind of felt like we finally got some sort of resolution. And here we are, you know, a few months after we thought that we had gotten some kind of resolution, and it's not totally closed just yet. But I think that was the biggest thing to me with that case, was the fact that some sort of decision was finally made, because as you mentioned, it was 3 years in the making, and we finally got some kind of conclusion.
Yeah, and that's the thing about our, you know, about our system, is that it's built on, you know, on many levels on checks and balances. So if there's some sort of issue that you think the judge was wrong about, or something you didn't get to bring up, you know, because it was banned from being mentioned for whatever, you know, legal justification there was, you get kind of a second bite at the apple. And there were a lot of things people were saying, hey, you know, good for this little bakery punishing the big evil college for $44 million. And then there were a lot of people saying, hey, you know, this college is where I went. It's where my parents went. You know, I support the administration. You know, they were just trying to defend the students, you know, First Amendment rights. You know, Oberlin has a long history of defending, you know, students, you know, First Amendment rights on campus, and of being at the forefront of the civil rights movement, you know, temperance, a lot of social movements, you know, and that was one of those things that, you know, there are these sides to that story. You know, there are these narratives on either side of the story, and we have to sit there and present both of them, and we did get a little bit of resolution. But again, as I've been telling people, I think we're going to be writing about this for years, quite honestly. And it's always going to be kind of like one of those battles in the culture wars, you know, that just people are going to look back on and pick it apart, and it's going to be talked about for a long time.
Well, I thought the loose pizza story was a bit of a wild card, but I liked the slice of nostalgia that you took with that also. And then, you know, the third in your top three I thought was terrific, because I think that's really perhaps the best story of the year when you talk about economical impact, as you mentioned, you know, Ford investing $1 billion in this area. And obviously that goes a long ways towards really kind of not necessarily revitalizing, but I think solidifying, you know, what we have seen at that particular plant, and that's only good news moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, well, a story was written about an Elyria man who is suing Giant Eagle for injuries sustained a year ago, and I thought, boy, that's interesting, because, you know, sometimes, well, we just talked about this with the Gibson's case, things take a while to kind of get filed and push forward. So, you know, why is it taken so long now for this to kind of come together?
Well, as a little bit of background, Anthony Whitmore was at the Elyria Giant Eagle on Christmas Eve 2018 when he was directed to one of the entrances that, you know, allegedly the crew members, you know, the staff members at the Giant Eagle were trying to direct everybody to one entrance and allegedly weren't controlling the crowd all that well. And Mr. Whitmore unfortunately suffered some physical injuries that left him about $8,000 worth of medical bills, which is a big chunk of change for anybody. to deal with. So, you know, just about a year, you know, after that happened, he filed suit in Loudoun County Common Police Court, just seeking, you know, those medical bills and some more damages from the corporate parent of Giant Eagle. And Giant Eagle had no comment. That's pretty typical in cases where there's a lawsuit. They tend not to comment on pending litigation. You know, that's generally kind of a corporate, you know, I don't want to say tactic, like it's a bad thing, but that's just the position that they take until they can review things a bit better and
protocol, you know, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a lot of things. And I have another one that's coming down the, that's coming down the road here in a little bit that I won't tell you anybody. I can't let the cat out of the bag just yet, but it's another issue with another corporate entity that has an outpost in Loudoun County that I'm working on that. You know, but this is one of those things where you know, Whitmore's attorney said, you know, he's a good man, he's a religious man, he didn't want to get, you know, his whole family involved and name them in the suit and everything. He just kind of wants to be, you know, compensated for, you know, for damages. And sometimes these are things that get sorted out by insurers. You know, insurance companies take a look at it and say, well, it's, you know, it's worth it for us to pay X amount of dollars as opposed to fight this and cost X amount of dollars. Sometimes there is a formula in there that they consider, but you know, it must have been kind of a mass confusion was the term that was used in the lawsuit. So we'll see where that one goes. A lot of times these things, they get settled. We've seen where they don't get settled, you know, harkening back a couple minutes to Gibson's and Oberlin College. But a lot of times these things get settled. So we'll see what happens. And if it doesn't end up settled, you can read about it in the Chronicle.
Well, we normally ask you for scanner stories. And we're going to ask you for scanner stories here in a moment. But Dave's a terrific follow on Twitter, so if you haven't had the opportunity to follow Dave on Twitter, I highly recommend that you do that, at Dave O'Brien CT. You had put something out there earlier that you meant when you mentioned was a tweet of the year in 2020 so far. It involved somebody in Canada taking orders from a group of Americans. So let's start with that before we get to your scanner stories from this past week. And when people are off, sometimes the scanner stories increase just a bit.
Well, I came across this today, and it was a tweet from someone in Canada named Christine at Guelph Girl Chris on Twitter, and she says, when my sister-in-law was a waitress in Canada, she was taking drink orders from a group of Americans. They each ordered a glass of red wine. She suggested that they choose a liter, L-I-T-R-E or L-I-T-E-R, depending on how you prefer to spell it. Instead, the Americans spoke among themselves, and one man put up his hand and said, "I'll be the leader." Unquote.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? There were a group of followers, right? They just followed the leader.
Oh,
that's all they did.
Wow.
I mean, that was
well done. First pun of the first intentional pun of 2020. Really, you came out swinging there, Bull.
Almost an hour into the show. I waited 57 minutes into the show before dropping the first one.
Oh, wild.
Well, what kinds of scanner stories do you have for us this week?
Well, here's a holiday love. Dateline Maple Heights, fight in the 20,000 block of Mountville. Two adult females tearing up the house, fighting over cookies.
Cookies, huh?
Yes.
It's worth tearing up the house for cookies.
Apparently, well, so.
Depends on which kind of recipe you get, right?
You know, I had a friend who had a great found a great one just, you know, straight off the web. You know, just kind of Googled, you know, chocolate chip cookie recipe, and man, those are really great. I'll have to if I can find it amongst my notes, I'll have to bring it in and share it with the fine listeners here. But it's incredible.
Interesting. See, sometimes it's worth fighting your sister over some cookies, depending on just how good they really are. Dave, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you joining us here in studio as always, and we'll do this again at the beginning of next week.
I'll be here.
All righty. Again, that's Dave O'Brien with the Chronicle Telegram joining us on the local beat, brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers. They're located on Broad Street right across from the hospital. They're a trusted name in jewelry. And if you stop by, you will see why. I've gotten plenty of goodies from Vandermark Jewelers over the last couple of years. Matter of fact, I got a pretty good Christmas gift there this past Christmas. And it brought smiles for days on end. And if you head on down to Vandermark Jewelers, you'll come away with smiles for days on end. All right, let's get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk to John Telich with Fox 8 here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.